بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we are talking about the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalla. And deliberately I have been talking about things which are apparently insignificant, things which we don't really bother about. Also things which very strangely, especially if you look at the insect world, the insect world is something on which the human race has declared war and has been at war with for centuries. Right? Almost the first reaction of any human being, so-called thinking human being, the moment he sees an insect is to kill it. Almost the first reaction, instantly, spray something on it, or you know, slam it with your slipper or whatever. I mean, almost instant reaction. But the reality of life is that if insects disappeared from this earth, the human race wouldn't last for 5 days. Literally. 1 week later, we would all be dead. Because the way in which insects benefit the whole world, one of the simplest ways to understand the benefit of insects is to understand pollination. Without pollination, there is no food, as simple as that, right? And there are many other ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned insects in the Quran. Allah mentioned the ant, Allah mentioned the bee, Allah mentioned the mosquito, Allah mentioned the fly. Now, the point is that, but our almost instant reaction, that's the reason why I said, I thought, let me talk about insects. Because to help understand that, this is the Qudrat of Allah. It's very easy to talk about elephants and tigers and stuff. But the world is not just made of elephants and tigers. You know, there are small things which are very, very beneficial and very, I mean, they may not look very nice, that's a different issue, but depends on what you consider to be nice. Let me talk to you today about another one, which is the octopus. Octopus, squid and cuttlefish. These three belong to a species, a genus called cephalopods. Now, basically cephalopods are things which have no skeleton. I mean, they are like jelly. They're not jelly, but they look like it. So, effectively, they are food for everybody else. They have no defenses to be able to defend themselves. They can't fight or anything like this. They can't bite. They can bite, but they're not enough to kill anything. They themselves feed on various things, from crustaceans to fish to small fish and so on and so on. But effectively, they can't fight. So, for cephalopods, the defense mechanism is camouflage. Now, the very interesting thing about octopus especially, and like we have been doing for the last few days, I'll send you a video with this. Take a look at that video. It absolutely blows your mind. The first time I saw this video, I said, Subhanallah, this is ajeeb or ghareeb, Allah's khudrat. The video begins with a shot of a seaweed. Right? I won't go beyond that. I don't want to take away your excitement. So, look at that seaweed. Right? Octopi, or this is the plural of octopus. Octopi, they camouflage in two ways. One, by changing color. So, they blend with the surrounding, whether the surrounding is seaweed or whether it's the sea floor, whether it's rocks, maybe coral, if they are on a reef, and so forth. So, they blend completely by changing color. And they change color to the extent of minute shades of color. It's not just red, blue, green. It's literally shades of color. They blend with that. So, they literally disappear because of the change of color. The second very important thing is that they blend in by changing the texture of their skin. So, if you're looking at that rock doesn't only look like a rock, it also feels like a rock. I mean, if you look at the bumps on the skin and so on and so forth, I mean, bumps on the rock, it matches that exactly. So, two very important ways of camouflage. One is changing of color and matching the color exactly shade by shade. And the second one is by changing the texture of the skin to match the texture of the thing that this octopus is trying to imitate. And as I said, it can be anything, it can be plants or rocks or whatever. Now, my question is very simple. My question is, if I gave you this task, obviously we are not creators, but I'm just saying, just to think about that. If I gave you this task and I said to you, Ibrahim bhai, here is this octopus and this thing has to save its life, and the only way it can do that is by camouflage, and two things of camouflage. One is match color for color, and second one is match the skin texture to whatever it is that it is blending with. Now, which senses do you think are required? If I want to match color for color, what sense do I need? Huh? Eyesight. What kind of eyesight? Color eyesight, right? Full color vision. I mean, obviously, if I want to match color with my brother's shirt here, this is a green shirt, right? So, if I can't see green, how will I match it? This is like, brainless logic. So, if I want to match color for color, I must have full color vision. So, it must be not just 20-20 vision, but also full color vision. I must be able to see all kinds of shades of color and differentiate between the shades so that I can then, change my color to match that. Now, texture. If I ask you, what is the texture of this carpet? Ibrahim, what is the texture? What did he do just now? He touched it, right? Moment I said, what is the texture of the carpet? He has to touch the carpet. Can you tell me the texture without touching it? You can't, right? Now, hold your breath. Octopus, octopi match color for color, but they are color blind. They don't see color. They're color blind. And octopi match texture by sight, not by touch. Now, and this is where I come in. My point is very simple. My point is, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created the octopus, and this octopus is supposed to match color for color, and it's supposed to match texture, and this octopus had full 20-20 color vision, and the octopus touched and matched texture, so what? So what would be the problem with it? Is that a problem? No, that's perfectly natural. That's how it's supposed to be. Nobody can say something is wrong. The octopus would be camouflaged, its life would be saved, and so on and so on. So why must Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give it this task of matching color for color, but make it color blind? And yet it does that task successfully every single time. If it didn't do that, it would be dead. As simple as that. If it did not do that, it would be dead. Why does it match the color? Because something is chasing it. It's not doing it for fun. It's doing it to save its life. So if it cannot match color for color, if it cannot disappear from the sight of the moray eel or whatever is chasing it, it's dead. So here is a colorblind thing which matches color for color correctly every single time. Here is something which needs to change its skin texture, and it does that by sight, not by touch, and it does it correctly every single time. So what is the message here? Is it about camouflage of octopi? Or is it about the khudrat of the one who created them? That's why I say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes to show off. Seriously. For us to show off is not correct. Riya is bad for Allah. Allah can show off. I mean, who is there to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah likes to show off. Why else? Tell me. I do not have a reason. I have thought about this. Why must Allah do this? Except to show that this is my khudrat. I can do this. I am not dependent on giving that creature color vision for it to change its color. Without color vision, it can change. You can't change. But if I want to make it change, I am not bound by the rules. I make the rules. Yeah? This is the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the whole point of the conjunction between theology and science. The greatest sin, the greatest crime that was committed was to separate the two, was to separate the knowledge of Islamic theology from the knowledge of science and technology. This is the biggest crime that was committed. May Allah protect us from this. The Quran does not do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not. Allah told us, look for the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How else will you recognize that? Can you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If you don't want to see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in creation, recognize Him, how else is there to recognize? Tell me, what is the other way? I was in one of the madaris here, because I am connected with a lot of madrasas. So I was in one of the madaris here in Hyderabad. And I went to the Darut Tahfiz, Hifz class. So the ustad there, he told me, please come sit. He said, bache ka kuch suniye, get one of the students to recite and listen to that. So one boy came and sat down. I told him, read. So he was reading from Surat Ankabut. And where I was sitting, to my right was the door of the class, and aapne was maape, maad. So outside, there were some chickens. Chickens were crazy. So he came to this ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْزُرُوا كَيْفَ بَدَى الْخَلْقِ. So I stopped him. He stopped. So I said, look at those chickens. What did you understand about this ayat of the Quran from those chickens? So that poor kid, I mean, I always get a lot of fun from pulling their leg. So he's looking at me as if I'm mad, but he can't tell me you are mad. So he's like, he doesn't know what to do. So he said, Hazrat, mai nahi samjha. He said, I didn't understand. So I said, you read something just now. Did you understand what that is? He said, no. Because we don't teach the meaning. We just think that making sound is enough. So anyhow, so I told him, I said, this is what Allah is saying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْزُرُوا كَيْفَ بَدَى الْخَلْقِ. Allah said, go and travel around the world. Go and look around the world and see how we have created things. قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْزُرُوا see كَيْفَ how بَدَى الْخَلْقِ how we created things. So I said, have you understood the ayat? Yes. I said, now look at the chickens. What do you understand about this ayat? He still doesn't understand because nobody teaches like that. The whole problem is with the methodology of teaching. That itself is, you know, completely faulty. So he still doesn't understand. So I told him, okay. I said, tell me, what is that chicken eating? He said, it's eating, kide khati hai, it eats insects. What else? He said, maybe a lizard, siplak kha sakti. So I said, if you eat a lizard, what will happen? He said, I will die. It's poisonous. I will die. So I said, but the chicken eats the lizard. The chicken doesn't die. He said, no, it doesn't die. I said, then, after some time, you take the chicken, you say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, you kill the chicken, you slaughter the chicken, you cook the chicken, you eat the chicken, what happens? Will you die? He said, no. So I said, now did you understand the ayat? Now his eyes opened, now his jaw dropped. He said, ha. So where must you learn tafsir of the Quran? In the chicken coop. In the bottom of the ocean. Huh? Not in a sterile environment sitting and, you know, going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Like a pendulum. Memorizing something you don't even understand the meaning of. How will you get the noor of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart? You don't even know what you are saying. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is the issue of teaching the kalam of Allah in a way where the person recognizes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu through his signs in the creation. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes to his glory and majesty and to fill our hearts with his khashyat and his noor and with the hub of his Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmatullahi.